Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsor for our program, and that's GrowMark, locally owned, globally strong. In this program, I'm going to share a conversation with two very special individuals. I was attending the Agricultural Relations Council annual meeting, and the organization just created a new Agricultural Public Relations Hall of Fame. And the first two individuals were inducted at this meeting. One of those is Don Lurch. I visited with him along with Paul Weller, who at one time was the executive director for the Agricultural Relations Council. I think you'll find some of the stories that they shared very interesting as we learn about the origin of ARC and some of their thoughts during their careers. I'm going to let them each introduce themselves as they would like to be at this point. We'll start here with you, Paul.
I'm Paul Weller, and I have a public affairs firm in Washington, D.C. called Agri Washington. I joined the Agriculture Relations Council in the summer of 1964 in Chicago, and then it was a member, and then for about 15 years was its executive secretary, and have been a member ever since.
Yes, I think when I first got involved, you were executive secretary at that time. I remember that. But I have over here with me a very special friend that is, as I understand it, one of the founding members of the Agricultural Relations Council, and that's Don Lurch. Don, tell us a little bit about yourself. What are you doing right now?
Well, I'm retired now. I had my business in Washington, D.C., on and off K Street for almost 40 years. Saw a lot happen with agriculture, beginning with rationing food in World War II, and going through the ups and downs of what happens to food during that time. One of the overall arching developments during this period, beginning in the late 40s, early 50s, was the impact of science and technology on agriculture. It took 5 or 6 years after the end of the war in order for companies to really get reorganized and digest the science that they had, add to it the science they were able to develop, and put products on the market. And it's putting these advanced, sophisticated products for agriculture on the market that caused the uproar with the consumers and led to congressional hearings. And if you're going to name one product that really was behind it all, it was that miracle pesticide DDT that was approved hastily during early in the war so it could be used on troops to control lice and other disease-carrying organisms. And I knew the man in the USDA, Dr. Herbert Haller, who was a scientist from Germany. He was an Americanized citizen, Department of Agriculture, and the military wanted this product quickly. So he ate a tablespoonful of 50% wettable DDT every day for 30 days. And because he had no ill effects, he reported that to the military, and they said, let's go. And that saved lives, and yet that was the product that caused many of the problems that I understand agriculture faces today. The impact of science and technology, not only in agriculture, but on the public, that is now farther and farther removed from food production and has less and less understanding of what it takes to take a seed and put something for you to eat on the table.
Well, what I find fascinating is that in that time that this organization was born, we had, as you're describing it, some of the same kind of concerns that farmers have today about the ultimate consumer and their understanding of the reality, the facts, the science, because it seems like we see a lot of fear that comes out of this, and some of that's being spread on purpose now by, I guess we didn't probably have them back then, but some of these activist organizations, for example. So when ARC was formed, maybe we could talk about, in that environment, was that part of the rationale for forming this organization?
That absolutely was, Chuck. As a matter of fact, that was in our minds when we met at the Knickerbocker Hotel in 1953 and formed what today is the Agriculture Relations Council. And I don't think there was any great hoop array in signing a document and saying that's it. ARC was in the atmosphere. Our minds registered the fact that agriculture was in trouble, that the trouble was going to grow, that it needed people with skill and knowledge of media and agriculture to be able to report developments in agriculture truthfully, effectively, to broaden the understanding. And that problem still exists today, so we haven't solved it. But that's why we formed ARC, and that's why it's still alive today.
What did you, in those kind of like the earlier days of the organization, I'm assuming that a lot of things we know of, like the awards program and stuff, didn't all happen at once. Those things kind of became part of the development of the organization, right?
Absolutely. That developed over time. In other words, there was no master plan, 10-year plan for ARC. We recognized there was a problem. We knew facts about agriculture. We thought more people should know, and that's why we did it. It was Paul Weller that really took the organization and added to it many of the things which were specific activities wherein ARC directly contributed to some of the problems that we face.
Well, let's turn over to Paul since we've mentioned him here. Paul, we have members of this organization that do primarily public relations work at commodity groups, different types of marketing communications agencies, and even media. Interestingly enough, when you see the kind of coalition in that membership of the various commodities that don't always get along and on, say, policy matters, for example, in the time that you were running this thing, I mean, how did that come together? How did you see that happening? And we can talk about what happened later, too, a little bit, and what we're doing now.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, really, what was true when I took over ARC in 1984, and it's still true today, is the critical importance of networking among agricultural professionals. No longer could we and can we do things on our own as an individual organization or individual industry. We have to work together. ARC provided two things that were critically important to the agricultural industry in the United States. First of all, it brought together people of like interests to network, for network. Secondly, it gave professional improvement. It gave training and experiences to professionals that they wouldn't get otherwise. And so it was critically important that these people work together. And it's even more true today. But even in 1984, when we started this thing, it was important that all of us get together and work together as a team. And you're seeing that now in our government by saying we can no longer do it as government. We have to work with private sector. And ARC started that way, way back.
Well, I'll tell you, when we talk about some of the things that we're facing today, I'll call it attacks from activist groups who have an agenda for whatever reason. For example, there's many others. Some of the misinformation that comes out as it relates to certain types of food and that kind of thing. Do you see that this still is a very valid concept to bring these folks together to maybe face some common problems, and ARC provides that mechanism or organizational structure to that they may not otherwise have?
Yeah, you know, there's two or three things that have happened in agriculture that is they're totally misinformation. I took over in 1987. The Apple Processors Association. These are people that produce apples and they make them into apple products, food products. That was in 1987. 2 years later, a group of environmental activists with Meryl Streep, the actress, and so forth, came out charging us with trying to poison American babies with Alar, with a product that had not been used in the industry since 1986. but they were accusing us of trying to poison their children with Alar. Today we have arsenic. We have an individual by the name of Dr. Oz, who, as far as I'm concerned, has no credentials to say so, but he's now charging us for trying to poison Americans with arsenic in apple juice. But we have this continuously, and we have to work together as an industry to try to overcome this misinformation.
Well, let's turn back over here to Don. You mentioned how science and technology was changing agriculture. That concerned the consuming public. Why don't we just twist that technology thing over to the communication side? You know, I know that you started out in the farm broadcasting area, where I started my career too. You were in a little longer than me, but even in my time, who would have thought I'd be sitting here doing this interview on a phone, you know, that I'm recording this to, which is going to plug into my computer and be broadcast over the internet?
Well, certainly there have been huge jumps in technology. I remember covering aerial spraying by the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station. And the public relations director for Connecticut at that time was Amanda Quackenbush. With a name like that, you can never forget it. Anyway, we were in a plane following the spray plane. And I had an engineer up there. And the engineer was doing the recording, and I was holding the microphone and scared to death. But we were spraying DDT to control the gypsy moth. And that's the way technology was when I started. And also when I was at CBS, and we would switch in the late 40s, early 50s, when we'd switch from Washington, where I originated the program, out to Kansas or Texas, there'd be a 2 or 3 second pause. And in order to originate the program from somewhere in the country, it took... I had to give 10 days notice, and they had to set it up, and I met with the station manager when I got there, and so forth and so on. Now you just sit here with this little thing you hold in your hand, and you can perform miracles. Somehow we have to be able to harness this and get it to Main Street. Agriculture, I think, has got to basically change its overall thinking about ending at the fence row. Today's agriculture is in the dining room, or they're in the lunchroom, or they're at the bar with finger food. Whatever's going on, agriculture does not stop at the fence. Agriculture stops literally in your stomach all the way through. So I think that those that are still in the business have to think that way. And I think over a period of years, if they do, they'll finally get a concept that people will accept, because it takes a while. It's like a drumbeat, like advertising. You have to repeat the message over and over. And there are no great victories. I found in my career in dealing with legislation and so forth, it's a never-ending story. Even if you get a bill passed, X years later somebody else passes another bill, or some regulations come out that are adverse to the objective you had. So you have to stay suited up, as it were.
Well, I think that as we look at these new communication technologies that now include social networking, you know, the Twitter, Facebook, all that kind of thing, as we had a journalism teacher tell us here, we are all publishers. I think back when we were just media, we have a responsibility to use... We have almost a moral responsibility to use those things, properly, with care, to make sure that we're telling the truth. There are a lot of people that don't tell the truth, but I think consumers have gotten pretty wary, and I think it's a good thing, that don't believe every single thing you see on TV. Well, same goes for the internet today, too, I think.
One of the things that astounds me pertaining to agriculture, during World War II and for the next 10 years at least, maybe a little longer, the farmer was still the expert. The farmer knew how to raise the pigs and produce the eggs. Nowadays, society really feels that it is the expert. We tell the farmer what to do, what he can use, how he can use it, and without regard for the impact. That's because we have a surplus of food. In my experience in World War II, when food was short and rationed, the farmer was a hero. He was the man who could do no wrong. Now that our stomachs are full and we're the world's leading food exporter, $100 billion a year helping our balance of payments, now we tell the farmer what to do. And that's going to stick around for a long time.
Yeah, I've heard it said more often lately than I can remember that all people have to do is get a little hungry, and we might change some of this attitude we have out there. Because let's face it, I mean, we are well-fed. Even though there is starvation, there are people who really need food that aren't getting it. We're very blessed here in this country, and yet we have these people out here, like you said, acting as if somehow what we're producing is harming the environment and hurting our grandchildren potentially. Heck, we're living longer than ever. I don't think the facts are backing up a lot of those claims. Paul, just again, as we look back at Ag Relations Council, just some thoughts you have on the organization has been around for quite some time, but went through a little bit of a stretch there after your days of running it, where it let's just say it went on the waning side, but now we're seeing a rebirth here. How does that what are your feelings in terms of seeing what we're doing and trying to rebuild this organization?
Well, Chuck, there was a feeling back around 2000-2001. That agriculture was changing so fast that ARC might not be big enough and influential enough to be able to change with it and to be able to exist for the future and to grow. And so there was a feeling that we needed to take ARC and fold it into another larger group. And so some of the groups that came forth were the Public Relations Society of America, the National Agricultural Marketing Association, and one or two others. And so the group had a vote in, I think it was 2001, to affiliate with the National Agricultural Marketing Association. And that did not turn out well. ARC really became moved into NAMA and inferior to their efforts that we lost our whole separate effort, and so if there was a period of time that it wasn't really doing the work that it had set out to do. And there was a small core within the ARC organization that decided we're not going to let this organization die. It's too important. It has a job to do. There's a future ahead of us, and so we're going to pull it out. So several years ago, three or four years ago, this core pulled ARC back out to independent organization and is building it now, and it's growing fast, and it has a tremendous future ahead of it. It really, really does. In this whole professional networking, professional improvement area, as agriculture grows, ARC is going to grow with it, believe me.
Well, it is definitely doing that. Just each of these last 3 years, we've met the membership goals, and you know, I think we were talking about hitting 100 members, not quite there. I'm betting that by the time I publish this, we'll be over that, to tell you the truth. Last thing I'm going to bring up here, since I've got Don Lurch here right now, and we won't have time later, but there's a new award being presented here tonight, and that is has just been created, an Agricultural Relations Council Hall of Fame. You're basically one of our first awardees, however you say that, but your thoughts on that in terms of receiving this recognition from the Ag Relations Council?
Well, I'm certainly honored to receive it, and I appreciate the thought that went into this award by the members of the Agriculture Relations Council. I believe that one of the ways perhaps we can strengthen the work of the council is to recognize people both in and outside the council who have a record of having contributed to a broader understanding in the general public of what agriculture, how agriculture serves the public and serves our national interest. So in that sense, I'm very happy to receive it as the first of a long line, and glad to be here.
Well, I want to congratulate you personally here. Look forward to that presentation, which is yet to come, but glad we had a chance to sit here and visit. I want to thank both of you for taking some time to visit with me here and talk about the Ag Relations Council and what we're all trying to do in terms of helping better the image of farming today in the minds of the consuming public, our ultimate customers.
Well, that's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.